I actually don't have much today. I wanted to, well, I've got what I've got, but of course we're going to be together after. I just have some quick thoughts today. It's interesting that we're circling back to a thought that I've been on in the past few months, and some of us guys, it's going to be reinforcement. But I'm just going to simply tell you about, we're all family in here. We don't have any guests today, so I'm going to be really informal with you. I'm just going to tell you about my last few days, okay? Last week we talked about getting prepared for times that you know might be difficult with family and things like that. Let's be honest. And so I'm just going to tell you, kind of give you a report about how things went the last few days. We got in the car on Wednesday, and the kids were angels, the best they've ever been, right, babe? Like, Izzy's at that age now where, I mean, she's still on the way to church. We'll say, out, out! Like, we're in the driveway, like, come on. But we made it, like, all the way to Watertown, and, like, they were good, and we didn't have their faces in screens the whole time. It was just a real win. But I'll tell you guys, like I said, before we left, I took the time. I said, I know this is going to be difficult. The night before, the day of, I wanted to make sure. I was like constantly feeling around. Father, where's your peace? Where are you? Do you know what I'm trying to say? I didn't let things overwhelm me. The packing, the all that sort of stuff, it didn't. And then we hit a traffic jam. And I mean, traffic jam. Like if I wasn't paying attention, I could see we'd, because whatever. Traffic jam, right? And I said to her, I should have said it. I said, there goes a half hour of our travel time. Not joking, it was 33 minutes. But it was, what had happened was a tractor trailer, we got to the scene of the accident. And isn't it funny how sometimes the inner you, I said to her, I was like, you know, I know I shouldn't say this, but we've been sitting here for a half hour. There better be an accident up there. You're like, ooh, that's terrible. But I've been sitting here for a half hour. Better not be dudes working on a road crew in November. You know what I'm trying to say? That was the voice that was coming in. Well, so a tractor trailer had just kind of boom and tipped over on the side of the road. I think the dude fell asleep because there were no, but anyway, I'm no CSI, but you know. So I'll keep going. The actual visit was really good for us. I did what we said last week. I prayed before I went into the fire of family. I realized that the Lord desires mercy over any religious stuff that I do. That's from last week's scripture. It matters to him that I'm kind, more so than other things. I remembered that, and then when I went in there in God's peace, I actually did feel like I brought God's peace in with me, and I can say that I affected the environment and wasn't affected by the environment. And that's a big deal. Like, I don't care if you all think that or not. I'm looking back through AJ's life. That's a big deal. The same folks, the same environment, yet I walked through, now I wouldn't say unaffected, but having affected this group of folks in a positive way. That's great, dude, instead of being rattled. That's a real big deal. And I was proud of myself, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful to God that we as Christ have we as Christ followers have the ability. What a change it's been in me over the last however many years. Then we headed home. And we waited because right about when we were going to leave, Izzy's like, night-night, night-night. And you don't mess with the kid's nap, right? Because who wants a grumpy kid on the way home? Like, no, you'll be fine. No, she would have screamed for the next 2.5 hours. All right, fine. So you take your nap. We'll just chill out. And we'll get a late start. That comes into play. And some of you know from the prayer chat thing. Well, we walk in the door. We get home. We made good time, too, like 2 hours 15. And I wasn't really cranking. But 2:15, I was like, cool. We get in, and I'm carrying Izzy, and I hear a faucet running. And my first thought is, I can't believe Melanie left a faucet running. Honestly. Like, and then I was like, wait, no, I was the last one in, and I sure didn't leave a faucet running. Sounds more like a waterfall. I go over near the basement. I was like, no. I open the basement door, turn the light on, 4 inches of water in my basement. The whole basement. Now, my basement is the entire foundation of the house. So 1,400 square foot at least, I don't know, but 4 inches? Bruce will do the math and tell you how many gallons that is. Yeah, a pipe, and I knew, I looked where it was. I said, that's an outdoor spigot, ice had come off, hit the spigot. Ice usually comes off a house like this, right? Gives you that 1 or 2 inch, no. For some reason, not today. Let me just hug the house and hit the siding, bang. Snapped the spigot, pulled the pipe inside. And I was told this year that Bruce is doing it. I was told this year by the guy who built the house that we get 20 gallons a minute out of that pump, that we got a real healthy pump. So 20 gallons a minute just spraying. By the way, that pipe is broken underneath my washer, dryer, my 220 outlet, my other ground fault, and my hot water heater. right there, just spraying water everywhere. What do you? Can I tell you something, ladies? Too, if you're in the kind of thing where the guy's the one that typically takes care of these sort of things, can I tell you something? We don't want to. Do you know that? Like, I walked down there, and my first thought was, because I'm just going to ramble a little bit today. We don't have much of a message. My first thought was like, and 10 years later, I was like, I wish my dad would come take care of this. Like, who can come? Dad, Bruce, Bill, somebody's got to fix this for me. 36-year-old man.
You'd still be waiting on dad.
About 3,500 gallons. That's pretty intense, right? Yeah. Well, it was up over my boots. I just went down there. It was up over my boots like this, and it was cold. And I couldn't figure out how to shut the bloody water off. I'm looking at the line. I'm turning all these things, and I'm like, babe, I don't know. But she comes down, and the little city mouse says, over near the water pump. I go over, yeah, okay. No, I give her credit. I was like, thanks. So we killed it. And at that point, you're standing there. And like I said, 36-year-old man, nobody's going to do this for me. And that's kind of stinks about growing up. It's a sham. We're all in a hurry to grow up. And it was a trap. And so I sit there and I'm like, what are we going to do? Well, my brother is my insurance agent. I won't propagate from the pulpit, but he's a heck of an insurance agent, saved us a lot of money, good policy, so I know my policy's good. And I call him, and he tells me to blah, blah, blah. So we get it done, and I called my friend who had the ability to snap the pipe and put a valve on it so we could get water back. So we were looking at not having water for the baths or anything like that. So that is what I walk up to. That's my story, and I'll get back to that. But I want to do this, guys. And some of this, again, will be review. But I want you to take what I'm about to say. Of course, always compare what I'm about to say to the Word of God. And then I want you to put it in your pocket, because these are some of the number one things that your friends and family are struggling with when it comes to their faith, and us too. Number one, why did this happen? Don't we all do that when things go wrong? I can imagine Christian and Brian been bounced around. Why? Why? Why can't I get this? Why can't I this? Why can't I that? When someone else hurts us, when we screw up or life just happened, we say, why, God? And for the last 2 weeks, and I don't know why he's hammering on this, but we've been asking the same question. Don't you care, Jesus? Peter asked it. Tons of different people. Don't you care? Don't you care that this is happening? And if you cared, this wouldn't happen. And for me, guys, big deal, right? It was a flooded basement, in perspective. But a few hours later, because we were up till 1:30 in the morning, me and the dude that I had called were working. And it was one of those nights where I would have gone to bed at like 11:30. I was exhausted from the trip. But 1:30, I reached down and I discovered the only photo album that AJ has. It's my whole life. It's all I have. I don't have a lot of pictures. And the one photo album. And you know my story. Most of the people in the photos are just going to be in photos for the rest of my life. And that one got me in the gut. My comic book collection from when I was 7 to like 18. Not really, whatever, but still. Our wedding photos and frames just flooded. And you think to yourself, you know, why did this happen? And I said it a few weeks ago, if we can't get a hold of this truth or truth, we're actually going to buy the lie that God doesn't care when things like this happen. We will. But then I remembered something. Let's look at John. Jesus himself says, I've told you these things so that in me you have peace. See, because I promise you, I'm the creator of God, in this world right here, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Do you understand that this is one of the biggest stumbling blocks to the people who refuse to come to Christ? That faith doesn't gel with what we see on the 6 o'clock news, or what happened to Jimmy, my babysitter's son, or what happened to my mom and dad, and it wasn't fair, so how can there be a loving God, right? Yes? Okay, because again, this might seem like review, but I'm actually doing this on purpose. I'm going to give this to you, and then you guys use this, okay? This is Jesus himself telling us about the world we live in. And I've said it before, we live in a broken and dying world. The world that humans handed over to the enemy right in the beginning. And I'll get a little more in-depth in this than I normally do. Oh, by the way, the word here, trouble, is one of the strongest words in Greek he could have used. It means soul-crushing calamity. It means heart-breaking tragedy. It doesn't mean bumps in the road. Jesus just said, in this world, you're going to have soul-crushing calamity. It's going to happen. And I hate to say it, but I've yet to meet anybody who's immune to loss, to hurt, and to heartache. But the problem is, we as people in the Western world, We think it's normal to just, the heat comes on, the water gets hot, we go to work, we come home, the car works, everything's fine, right? Unlike other countries where suffering is just a part of life. Literally, like, there's laughter, there's tears. For us, when something goes awry, we freak out. It's not normal. It's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to challenge you today. In this world, you will have trouble. Who told us that basements don't flood? Who told us that clouds don't drop hail? Who told us that the earth doesn't shake and split? Who told us that the oceans don't rise too high and then recede again, and that clouds start to circle and create tornadoes in certain flat parts of the... We think we're supposed to be okay. Who told us that? And this is challenging, and I hate this. I don't like it as a person. I think as all human beings, or as nature, we groan for things to be made right again. But the reality is, guys, the blessings you have in your life are just that. God-given blessings. They are not because we deserve them, and it's not normal. Love people who go to missionary trips to any other country in the world, and they go, this is your normal? Wow, my normal's awesome. Do you understand what I'm saying? I told you. You think England's like America. No, it's not. Lived there for years as a person, not a student, not a military person. I lived and walked the streets and worked. They don't have any of the opportunities we have. The upper elite do, but I'm telling you what, guys, they don't live like we do. Their normal, in my opinion, is much, much, much less than our normal, the opportunities. The normal of the world, says Jesus, the Creator, he says, this is the way it is, guys. In the garden, we handed over our dominion and authority to the enemy, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, basically saying to God, butt out of my life, Father God. I can do this myself. We not only got what we wanted, okay, a separation to do things by human strength, but we also gave power to spiritual forces that hated us and wanted us destroyed. And I say that because understanding where we are is a huge deal. We're in a war zone, guys. Good versus evil. And the two sides are by no means equal, but we're in a war. And I can say that because one thing we don't want when the hard times come is to be shocked and rocked unnecessarily when we catch a glimpse of the true nature of things. And it does us no good, okay? In other words, would it have helped if I said, Lord, what in the world? Why'd this happen? You must not love me. Bad things can't happen to your followers. If you're God and all-powerful, would that have helped the basement situation or the traffic jam? It would not have. Would it have helped when Dad got sick? Would it have helped me take care of Dad when he got sick? No. So I'm trying to just basically, well, I'm just carrying on what my God is doing. He's preparing us ahead of time. And he's saying, don't be shocked by this. There's something that happens. I'll give you a communications thing. There's something that goes on in psychology, and it's called cognitive dissonance. It's a very powerful psychological phenomenon. What cognitive dissonance is, it's a feeling of almost vertigo. It's a hard thing to explain. It's almost a feeling it's a mental feeling of physical imbalance when you encounter something mentally that you think was one way, but it reveals itself to be another. It's called cognitive dissonance. It's a powerful thing. Let me put this in perspective. He stood on the altar and told you, you and only you for the rest of my life. I would never do that to you. I'm not that type of person. And when someone hurts you like that you think was a certain way, and you're confronted with the reality that it's not the way it is, cognitive dissonance is the first thing psychologically that you feel. I don't even know you, when you start to question everything about that person. Do you follow my example here? Okay, cognitive dissonance does you no good. It does you no good. It's not a self-defense mechanism. It's not. And so what I'm trying to do is exactly what Jesus says here. In this world, you will have trouble. We just need to understand, and this has nothing to do with Christmas, nothing to do with Thanksgiving. We just need to understand that when trouble hits our lives, we can take that as normal. And we can rest our heads down on our pillows when we get to have family members around, and we get to have blessings. And when there is money in the bank account, we can realize fully that it's not the norm, that we're beloved and chosen by God and blessed by Him. Do you understand that? Cognitive dissonance, like I said, it freezes and paralyzes people. You know, your dog bites you. I never thought you'd do that. Doesn't help you. In that situation, it freezes you up. Standing there in 4 or 5 inches of water, God, why did this happen? Or whatever. It doesn't do us any good. We've got to keep moving forward. We need to understand, like I said, we gave our authority over to really dark forces that are simply out to hurt us, guys. And Let me do this. Okay, what did the developer said this? God could have simply said this. Let's go back to that conversation. You know, God, why did this happen? Insert your situation. Or even in the past, because some of you are in a good place now, but you came out of a furnace, which we'll get into. So rewind to your dark days and realize this. If you're God and you're all powerful, said AJ, and God could simply say, well, what did I teach you about this world? And then I would retort and say, well, it's a temporary place where people make choices every day, some that really hurt others, where storms drop hail and ice and snow and ground quakes. And like I said before, that's what you've taught me about this world, God. That's the reality of this world. And God would say, yes, even creation itself was affected by what humans did. And I wish I had it. All creation groans. I don't know where it is. If you knew it off the top of your head, I'd throw it up. But the Bible actually says all creation is actually growing for the groaning, for basically for everything to come to an end and be restored to balance. Even the clouds and volcanoes and the oceans and ice storms were affected by what human beings did. You ever wonder where that mythology of Pandora's box came from, you guys? We opened Pandora's box and all sorts of evil came out. And you're like, well, it's a spin on the truth, but it's pretty much what happened. We empowered darkness to do this. But what did I say about it, says God? Now, this is me standing 4 inches of water. What did I say about it, God? Last week we looked at Jesus. He said, in me you have peace. In me you may have peace. And there's the difference and there's the whole point, guys. Everyone on this planet will be touched by pain and loss, but there are two choices. And again, we walk through it alone, or in me you have peace. There is a place of peace in the storm. And we can either curse the storm like everybody else, or we can rest in the peace. When we hit the traffic, I was just tempted to freak out, guys. A growling came up from the inside of me. And then we're sitting there, and to make matters worse, it had said very clearly, left lane ends, right? And so I get in the right lane, like a good American citizen. I get in the right lane. Bunch of people didn't want to do that. You know what they did? Their left lane was prospering. Hey guys, can I give you I'm just tangent for a second. Can I tell you why traffic jams happen? Selfishness. Seriously, that's what happens. You ever seen an overhead view? There's actually diagrams about this. People who study this for a living. Watch what happens. Okay, so there was an accident here. There was one lane. Can you imagine this? John Lennon. Imagine all the people. Right lane goes, left lane goes, right lane goes, left lane goes, right lane goes. If we all just knew, you, then me, you, then me. No, here's what happens. Hey, fine. Oh. Certain finger. Me, you're not. And then these guys going, you can't get in. And then I'm getting in. And then, well, I want to get in too. That's what happened. And we sat there, and again, the bear's voice inside of me, I'm trying to stay in God's peace, which we'll get into in a second. But as we're watching these me's take that left-hand lane, and I know what they're doing, and I'm tempted to do it as well, because I know. Anyway, you ever do that? You know a car that's there, and you're like, where am I according to that person? I started with that car. Well, I was like, oh my God. And then Ontario Plates, remember? Ontario Plates tries to cut in, and Melanie's devil in my ear. Don't let him in. And I literally said, all of a sudden, I said, the Lord desires kindness. The Lord desires mercy, didn't I, babe? She goes, yeah, yeah. But in that, guys, you know, I was tempted to just do that. And I want to tell you this. In that moment, I just chose peace. I prayed. I said, Lord, please help. Please get us through this. And me, the volatile, not always patient person, I got through it. And we did. We counted state plates. We goofed around. The kids were good. And at the end of it, I actually said this. I'm proud of us, babe. Because I don't know. You know, not to bring up any past or anything like that, but that would have rattled people in my family. That really, right? I mean, come on. Ugh, Dad. You know what I'm saying? But to think we could get through that and understand it and stay in a place of peace was a big deal. Let's do the John slide. I talked about it, but I want to reiterate this. Peace I live with you, my peace I give you. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I don't give to you as the world gives. And then Walt was talking, he was like, what that might mean is what you deserve, blah, blah, blah. But Walt also said too, I don't give as the world gives. I don't give you just a little bit. I give you more than you need. It's there. Don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. And I'm telling you, it was a big deal for me. It was a big deal for me. And so we're going to start talking about Christmas pretty soon. We're going to tie this all together about Christ being the perfect sacrifice and animals and blood and the whole deal. But as a result of what Christ did, we're given peace as an option. To some of us, like I say, this is old news, but it wasn't old news while I was sitting in traffic or with my in-laws or at the end of the day, you know what I mean, walking home to that thing. No, it's not old news. I want to begin to wrap up here and say this, guys. For this is not a small thing, guys. For me, at the end of the day, I had to have a patient person, a nice person, a loving person, is nothing short of a miracle in my life, guys. This has been a source of struggle for a long time. Looking at my destroyed possessions, to see a person who isn't destroyed myself by that. And you know what? Even my night wasn't destroyed by it. That's an inner working of God. I know that. Oh, and hey, in case you think it's all fluff, let me give you another angle on this, okay? What did Alex and Izzy see Daddy do when things got hard? What did I model? Did I yell? Did I scream? Did I cuss? Was I overpowered? Did they see that God's power in me was greater? I mean, we had to pull them in and go, listen, Mommy, Daddy need to go down, sit there, you know, be good. You got to be part of the team. Right. But did they see me be overpowered? This is what you do when something challenges you, because look what Daddy just did. Did they see that? Did I run over and kick the dog and scream and be short-tempered with them because things weren't going right? Did I model that? Or did they see that there's something inside of God, inside of me, thanks, Mom, thanks. There's something inside of me, do you know what I mean, that they can have peace in the storm. And that's a big deal, guys, because I know my kids are watching. What about my wife? Did she pull back because AJ lost control? No, she saw me stay calm, focused, and take care of her home. And here's the thing, guys, I don't get the credit for that. We all know this. It wasn't my peace. I'm not a peaceful person naturally. I'm not. In those moments, and this is what we'll say to wrap up. Busy day in kids' ministry, huh? Just for the record, we are putting up a thing to dampen the noise a little bit. In those moments, guys, and here's what I'll leave you with today. God pointed to peace, but I had to step into it in faith. And here's the thing about faith. Faith is choosing to believe, right? In that moment, when you take a deep breath and pray and you choose peace, do you understand that that's a move of faith? Because you're choosing something that you're stepping out onto something that better be there, right? When I took a deep breath and said, okay, I choose peace. What if it's not there? Then I stay worked up, right? Someone needs to choose peace back there tonight. Andy, tell him what I said. yeah, right? We have to step into it, guys. When we do something with his help, it's not him, he says. Comes out with the kid. It's not him. Oh, wait, it is. It happens. We've all been there. Okay, so let me just skip ahead here. You know, for a long time, guys, I prayed, Lord, get me out of this fire. This fire of addiction, personality hang-ups, short-temperedness, hurts I couldn't shake, whatever it is. This whole idea of, Lord, lift me out, that's what I would always say, and then I realized maybe that's not accurate. Sometimes it is, but in my experience, it's more like a story we all know of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They're sentenced to death for not serving the king as God, for not elevating and worshiping something or someone who couldn't take care of them, and they're going to be thrown into a furnace. Now, everyone here has had something happen. Even someone toss a grenade into your life and throw you into a very hurtful season, your own furnace. Maybe it was the furnace of hearing, I don't love you anymore. That's a good one. Or I love him or her now and not you. I know I vowed in front of everybody to stand beside you no matter what, but nope. Or how about this furnace? You're fired. Or you need to take early retirement. Or how about a parent lobbing grenades of insults or slander and telling you what you are or what you can't be? What about that furnace? We've all been there. Now, here's the thing. Like I said, I had this idea, God, lift me up out of it. And let's see the way God works in this situation, because maybe that's not the accurate way to look at it. Daniel 3:16, if you're listening online, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, when faced with this death sentence, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the furnace, the God we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your hand. But even if he doesn't, if that's not how he does things, if that's not what he chooses to do, we want you to know that we're still not going to serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded the strongest soldiers of the army to tie him up and throw him into the blazing furnace. So what happened? These men wearing the robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. So hold on. Yeah, let's go back. If you love me, I wouldn't go in the furnace, God. If you really love me, then you won't let me be thrown into the furnace. And that's exactly what, that's exactly the prayers I used to pray. We're talking about peace. We're talking about flooded basements. We're talking about hurts from the past. If you love me, I wouldn't be in this hard season. If you love me, the doctor wouldn't have just said what he said. And guys, these metaphorical empty chairs in our lives, some people stopped right there. I know I've said it before. But let's continue to see the story. Thanks, Brad, for backtracking. Let's see what happens. God, if you love me, I wouldn't be in the furnace. So what happens? And they were thrown in. They fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The king was astonished, however, rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to him, yes, O king. And he said, but I see four men loose walking around in the fire, and they have not been hurt at all. And the fourth guy, he looks like the Son of God. So lots of times in life, guys, as we're facing our furnaces, what do we say? We say, get me out of here, get me out of here. And sometimes he says, wait, I'll go with you through it. I'll go with you through it, guys. And like I said, these furnaces can be just about anything. The car crosses the line. Why the bad negative report? Why can't we just conceive? I get these things. These are our furnaces. But maybe God's saying, I will walk you through it, guys. I will go through it with you. Yes, he's able to pull me out of it. We also know we can't fathom the one we serve. We know him, we love him, but we can't know all his ways. And so he joins them in the fire. Has anyone ever been somewhere, gone through something where you wonder how you're still standing? Wonder how you get out of bed? Or even people say to you, how are you still standing? How do you get out of bed? A lot of my life I asked that he lift me up out of the ring of fire I was in. And more often than not, he says he'll come with me, we'll walk through it together. And we have promises, I'll never leave you, I'll never break relationship with you. But you do have to get up and do the walking. Walk with me, walk through this. I'm able to take care of you. And when we do that, the one byproduct we're always going to find in the midst of these storms is peace. So to wrap up my story, I'll tell you this. Like I said, we made it through traffic, I held on the peace. The basement's now dry. I won't get back the things we lost, but we still actually had a decent Saturday. And I got this message completed for today, and I'm grateful to God for that, of course. And if I let it, these furnaces I've been through can boost my faith. They can strengthen me for the next furnace I'm going to face. Because the one I serve has told me ahead of time, in this life you're going to have trouble. But fear not, because I've overcome everything you're going to face. And instead of pulling away from him because of the furnaces, I just might choose to draw closer to him when we get there. And in that choice, if I make that choice, we're promised peace. So let's sing Never Once, just as another reminder that we've never walked alone through our hardships.